This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. The Votive Mass of the Holy Cross, by Father William Doc Holliday.
They did not know the secret purposes of God. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So long ago, the prophet writes that they did not know the secret purposes of God. When we look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand that in the cross is our redemption. In nothing else, we cannot keep the law well enough. We cannot pray enough. We cannot do enough rosaries. We can do nothing for our own salvation. We must rely on the cross. It is not just the sign of our redemption. It is our redemption. I pointed out on Trinity Sunday that I use the analogy of fish and water. I said that, you know, fish are born in water. They live in water. They don't know any better than that. They don't know if they get taken out of water, they die. The same goes for us with the Trinity. We have to understand that we are immersed in it. It is our life. It is the foundation of our faith. The cross is akin to this because, as I said, in the cross is redemption. There is no redemption elsewhere. Nowhere. No prophet, no great teacher, no abilities of ourselves to get us into heaven. We must embrace the cross. But just like the Trinity, the concept of the cross surrounds us. It's everywhere. We look at here, there's a cross. We look at another place, there's a cross. There's a cross over every station of the cross. We sign ourselves with the sign of the cross. We do it so much, I don't think sometimes we think about what's going on there. We have to appreciate what's going on there. It is, as I said, not just a sign of our redemption. It is our redemption. But it does signify many things. There's a couple of the things it signifies that we have to appreciate. And this is what, you know, that first reading there. You know, they did not know the secret purposes of God. There are some people that will even call themselves Christians. They'll even claim to be very committed Christians and question the cross as a symbol. I knew a very, very rabid, foaming at the mouth Calvinist one time. And many Calvinists would deny this, but if you take their theology to its logical conclusion, you have to embrace it. And some are at least honest enough to embrace it. It's called double predestination. Double predestination is God ordains, predestines, elects some people to go to heaven, and he preordains and creates other people to go to hell. Aside from it defying scripture from cover to cover, little things like God wills none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, kind of hard to think that he makes people to go to hell. That's what the double predestination Calvinist believes, and they will admit it to you. Yes, he predestines some people to go to hell. They try to explain it away, a lot of them do, but that is a logical conclusion. But this guy that I used to know, who was so adamant about it, he actually called it into question one time why people wear crosses. He disdained the fact that people were, Calvinists hate symbolism in any way, shape, or form. It's earth-binding. But he hated the fact that people wore crosses. He said, it's so ridiculous. So it was just an instrument of execution. Why don't people wear a little electric chair? He actually said this. Why don't people wear a little electric chair if they want to wear some instrument of execution around their necks? Completely missing the point. He was a person that did not know the secret purposes of God through the cross. The cross stands for things that the electric chair doesn't, that a rifle from a firing squad doesn't, that a hangman noose doesn't. It stands for our redemption. You look at the cross just in what it is, how it was used, that thing that our Savior hung upon. It stands on the earth and it points to heaven. It's like a manifestation of why the incarnation. God incarnate, puts on our flesh, comes and lives among us, becomes part of creation. The Creator becomes part of creation, and then he is suspended between heaven and earth on this thing that points. It's planted in the earth, but it points to heaven. Christ is hanging on the cross between heaven and earth. He's showing this reconciliation between the created order and heaven. That's why he came. That's what makes it different than any other instrument of execution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his incarnation, purified the earth. He reconciled it to heaven. This is the picture that we get at the cross. The four arms of the cross. If you lay the cross down, it speaks of the universality of redemption, not universalism, the universality of redemption. Universalism is the belief, and it's a heresy, that everybody goes to heaven eventually. That is not true, okay? That, just like double predestination, flies in the face of what the Holy Spirit tells us in Scripture, okay? Not universalism, the universality of redemption, meaning that anyone who will be saved must embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. Anyone who desires to go to heaven and live with God for all eternity must embrace the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you lay that cross on the ground, those four arms of the cross, they point in all four directions, those four corners of the earth from which the free offer of the gospel, the free offer of heaven, is given to everybody, not just ethnic Jews, not the chosen people of the past, but everyone. The universality of redemption. Go to heaven, you must embrace the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It again points to the four corners of the earth that have a share in that redemption, if they embrace it in faith and obedience. It speaks of the exclusivity of redemption in Christ. In Christ alone is salvation to be had, and that salvation was wrought on this instrument of death that was the cross. I said earlier, the cross, you know, we're immersed in the cross. We do the cross so much, but I mean, really think about it. The cross is used in every benediction of the church. Every time you receive a blessing, every time you give something to be blessed, every time the canon of the Mass is said, the blessing of the offerings, cross after cross after cross. In the old Mass, it's even more pronounced. There is not just one cross over the oblata, the offerings. There are three over the host, three over the chalice, three over both. And then throughout, there is three, one over each. There's a lot of crossings in the old Mass. There's more crossings in our Mass than there are in modern Mass. Different subject for a different day. But the cross has always been up in our face, so to speak. But it's been so up in our face, again, I think sometimes we lose a sight. You know, that man I was talking about before who spoke of the cross as nothing but an instrument of execution. This is what happens when there's inattention paid to what something is, particularly when it comes to our faith. We are creatures of the flesh. We are creatures. We have senses. We need to see, hear about, speak about, smell, taste things to engage us with our salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ put on our flesh and came down and engaged in the earth's life, became and dwelt among us, and then died for our sins. This is the cross, and it's exclusive. Every single sign of the cross, every time we do it, every time we cast our eyes upon it, there should be this little thing inside of you that tells you that what you do is a confession of faith in the crucified Son of God. This is the cross. This is why it is venerated in a votive Mass. This is why it is so important to understand that it is tremendously different than a rifle or a hangman's noose or an electric chair or a guillotine. Because many, many people have died in those ways, and tens of thousands died on the cross, but the God-man died on one. And that's the symbol to which we look. This is why our Lord says, it's not just a matter of understanding this, it's a matter of living it. Our Lord says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Daily. A lot of people, the cross, well, that's when something bad happens. Our Lord says, take up your cross daily, because every day there are little crosses. Praise God that there are generally so infinitesimal we don't even notice them. That those little crosses are temptations. And if we overcome those temptations and don't fall into those, that's a little cross, because you know what? We want to fall into those temptations. We like them. That is our proneness to sin. That is our sin-cursed and fallen nature. We are prone to fall into sin. So every time we can overcome it by overcoming a temptation, that's why it's meritorious. Because we've taken up a small cross and followed him. Sometimes they are huge. Every time one of the really bad things happens in your life, the loss of a loved one, horrible illness, whatever it may be, loss of a job, name it, you take up that cross and you follow him. We are so quick to ask him to remove the crosses from us. It's not bad. And it's not sinful to ask once or twice, maybe even three times or so, to have a cross removed from you. But you know what? Sometimes God just doesn't answer. Sort of like when his son asked, Father, if there is any way that you could take this chalice from me, but not my will, your will be done. The father didn't boom a voice from heaven like he did at his baptism or at the transfiguration. Okay, son, I know how grievous this is. However, you must endure for the salvation of mankind. He didn't say that. You know what he said? Nothing. Nothing. And our Lord was nailed to that cross without his father saying one word of comfort to him. So we're in good company when God does not deem to remove that chalice from you. That sounds so negative, but honestly, it's just the opposite. Because what happened when the son was faithful to what the father desired in his life, being obedient to the will of his father, acquiescing to the providence of God? He was given, as it said in the readings today, he was given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue would confess and every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, that Jesus Christ is now exalted at the right hand of God. He got that because of his cross. We have that going for us if we take up our cross daily and follow him. If we acquiesce to the providence of God in our lives, because you get no traction whatsoever if everything is fine with you all the time. It is when people see you acting like Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, in the modernist times, you're acting like Jesus is giving money to the church or to some person who asked for it. That's not acting like Jesus. Did Jesus do things like that? Yes. But what was the culmination of that ministry of giving? The giving of self. We must give to God the Father ourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done his part. That's why he hanging on the cross said, it is finished. When his was finished, not ours, each and every one of us, no matter what or who it may be in this world, we're not going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, until we culminate everything and say, while we're hanging on our cross, which will eventually be our death, it is finished. And then all we have to do is pray God before it happens that he will sustain us in that. that we as his son will be able to take up our crosses daily and follow him. This is the cross. This is the cross. This is that symbol that you look at. It's just not something that identifies this as a church or it identifies somebody really holy who wears one around their neck. Because believe you me, I've seen a whole lot of people wearing really big ones that know nothing about Jesus Christ. I've seen people drive into abortion mills before with rosaries hanging from their rearview mirrors, personally. So just because you have one around and you know the symbol, it is meaningless unless you're taking up yours and following him daily. And people might not even see it. But your Father in heaven, who sees in secret, will reward you if you are faithful to that. So we need to do what our Lord Jesus Christ says and take up our crosses daily and follow him. Because as I said, every time we do it, it is a confession of faith in the crucified Son of God, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.